Menominah Boy Side Lessons with the Lady Parsons Vayeshev, finally back and better than ever. Last week was really pathetic. I had to do it myself in the basement of my sister's house. Boy Side Lessons with the Lady. You know, so I'm happy to be back, and I think I have a really, really beautiful idea. One time I was speaking back in the day when I was with the wonderful Leva Torah as a employee. So I don't want to say scholar in residence, but I was speaking one Shabbos in different shuls. Basically, I wanted to go to my sister for Shabbos, and the only way I could do that is if I got speaking gigs. So I spoke in different shuls in Teaneck. And after I spoke, I was surprised, not in a bad way, to receive an email from one of the rabbis, and he said, next time you speak, can I teach you a lesson of how to speak? You know, I think I speak very well. I speak, how do you say, good, yes? But he said that when you give a vort, when you give a Dvar Torah on Friday night, you always need to have at least two meforshim. Don't give a vort from one meforsh. Okay, I don't know where that comes from exactly. And then I've noticed through the years, I wanted to go up to him and say, well, you just said Friday night, with only one, you told me. But I haven't done that. So today I have two different ideas. Two different ideas on the same pasuk. I actually have a different meforshim, but two ideas that we'll spend. And it's something that you would never notice, and only great people notice these things. And that great person this week, we're going to speak about two specific people. One is the Lord, Rabbi Jonathan Sacks, the only time you're allowed to say the Lord, but not referring to the Baruch Shalom. Zeichet Ag Levarcha. And just, we all know this, but, you know, through now it's been a year of missing him, we've learned, I hope, so much more from him, and I feel so bad that I haven't looked more into his Torah, because his Torah is just fascinating, and the things that he comes up with are amazing. And here's just an observation of just a meforish that he saw. And then another person who unfortunately we lost as well, or of David Feinstein, Zeichet Av Gavracha. So two ideas on one pasuk. So we know that really what's going to happen now, through the end of our parshas, we're now going to, the next number of weeks, going to be joining really what I call the Golos experience. The brothers are going to make up the largest narrative in the entire Torah. The largest narrative in the Torah is this story that literally starts the first psukim of our parsha. And it's remarkable. And yes, there's ways of getting around it, as Rav Soloveitchik speaks about. I believe I spoke about this last year. And Rav Soloveitchik speaks about that, like, the brothers technically weren't doing anything bad. Because they remember, they knew who their grandfather was. And they remember their grandfather had a child, and his name was Yishmael, and he was bad. And they remember that his dad had a fight with his brother Esau. I mean, come on, we just learned the story. So, Mistoma, Maisah Hoposimun Labadim, there's going to be one bad seed here. It's got to be Yosef. Look what's going on. Look at it from afar. It does not appear to be so far off. He has these dreams. He's haughty. And of course, Yaakov makes the same mistake his father made, gives him a ketonis puzzle. This is the guy. This is a bad guy. This is the guy that's going to take over. He even looks like his father. And everything's set up to be perfect here. Right? Who did Yaakov love? Of course, he loved Rachel. These boys came from Leah. So there appears to be a good excuse. But in all this, the pasuk says something you could miss. They hated him because his father loved him. And they couldn't talk to him. They couldn't speak to him. L'shalom. I'll just tell you what article says. They could not speak to him peaceably. What does this mean? So Rav Sacks says, what's going on over here? So just to give you an idea of the mirror of Meforshim, they couldn't speak to him in a peaceful way. They could not speak to him in a friendly terms. They could not speak to him in kind words. The Ibn Ezra says, so great was the brothers' hate towards Yosef, they couldn't even carry a friendly conversation in a peaceful manner. Not even talking as brothers, but just even to go up to him and say, did you see the game last night? Right, you heard what happened last night. Charon lost. They lost. The Charon was playing. No. Rav Hirsch says, whatever he said, they interpret as negative. Right? We have those people in life. Everything they say, you say is negative. There was no shalom there. And of course, Rashi speaks about they were too honest. They couldn't pretend that they loved him. They weren't fakers. Toicha Gabaro, they were tzaddikim, the brothers. But now comes along Rav Yonatan Eibshitz, the great Rav Yonatan Eibshitz, the Rav of Prague, 1700s, wrote Yaroslavash, and of course, a number of different commentaries on the Torah itself. And he says, what does that mean? If you take it literally, really the words mean that you could not speak to him to peace. Couldn't speak to him to peace. What does this mean? So he says, there is a very important edict in the Torah. The Torah tells us that there is an isser of hating your brother in your heart. Lo sinas achicha b'levavecha. Hocheach tochicha zamisecha. And that edict reminds us of an isser that we have. That a person is not allowed to hate his friend. But says Rav Yonatan Eibshitz, what is he getting at? What is the pasuk trying to tell us? The pasuk of Tochacha. So it comes along the Rambam, and this is what he quotes in Hilchos Deos. And the Rambam says something startling. The Rambam writes that what does it mean that a person is not allowed to hate his friend in his heart? So the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos, by the way, parenthetically, speaks about this in one halacha. You're not allowed to hate somebody in your heart. So, says the Rambam, in Hilchos Deos, Perek Vav, Halacha Vav, the Rambam says, it's hard, it's English, it's Hebrew, I don't know. Okay, so says the Rambam, oh, very beautiful. Kishe yichta ish le'ish. When a person wrongs another person, lo yishtamnu v'yishtok. Don't remain silent. Kamo sh'amar b'rishayim. V'lo diber avshalom et amnon. Mi'uma l'meidu ra. Ki asina avshalom amnon. What is he talking about? He's talking about the case of Amnon and Tamar. We know about Yehuda v'Tamar. Later on, Shmuel Bet speaks about David's half-brothers. David's two sons. They were half-brothers to each other. Avshalom and Amnon. Amnon takes the sister of Avshalom and rapes her, Tamar. David is infuriated with him. And it comes out in the Psukim. But what happens? Avshalom is quiet. He does nothing. He doesn't say anything. He's got a sin of this guy that you don't believe. And it's burning inside of him. It's burning inside of him. So much so that he kills him. He has a party because it's the end of the shearing season, and he has him killed. Has him killed. Because when sinah, when a person doesn't say anything, says the Rambam, there's a mitzvah to speak it out. Mitzvah lo lehodiyo lomar lo, lama asisa kafacha, tell him what you did wrong. V'lama chatasa li, b'davar ploni, why did you do this to me? Hocheach tocheach samisecha. And therefore, he says, the sapir b'shvachu l'choslo, when it comes to money as well. And then the Rambam goes on in the next, I'm sorry, shenem archeach tochich samasecha v'imchazor v'ikesh v'menu l'mcholo tzarech l'mchoy, the halachas of mechila. And then the Rambam says in Hilchos Zayin, haroyez chaveu shechatesh halach b'derech lo tova mitzvah l'achziro l'mutav lo. Ocheach tochich samichesa. So says Rav Aaron Soloveitchik in his Sefer Perech Mataru. When I saw this last night, I said, ooh, it would be amazing if Rav Aaron said something in his Sefer. I was on the plane, as you know, unfortunately, on Thursday, with an amazing Belzer Chassid that sat next to me, who thought I was totally, I don't think he even thought I was Jewish, because I was wearing my hat, as I normally do. And it was very funny, because towards the end, we spoke Divrei Torah. And he said to me, hello, how are you, sir? Nice to see you, whatever. And I probably was not sure. So the truth was is that I didn't take out my classal svarim during this day. I was listening to shurim and stuff. So there's no way he would have known. Until we had that, I don't know if you guys listened to the lessons from the lay, we had a little shachris incident. It was pretty amazing. And he had gotten up to daven Ma'ariv, and I was like, I don't know. So then when Shachris came, it's a very strange, these flights are very weird when you have to daven. And also it's weird now because United, the Dreamliners, they tint the windows. So it literally looks outside that it's dark, but it's not. It's very light outside. It was 2 hours before landing. It was even past Vasikin. So I went to the, I had no place to daven, so I went to the back to daven by the galley where they normally let you davening, and there was a minion going on there. So this should be my healthy Yetzirah. My Yetzirah, even though I think it's usher, I join the minion. So whatever, there was a whole incident with one flight attendant, the other one was okay with it. It doesn't matter. And the funny part of it, of course, is that I tried to, nobody would talk to her because they're all Hasidim, and I said to the lady, please, just give us 7 minutes, we'll be done. Breakfast will be 7 minutes, that's fine. She wouldn't listen to me. So I lied to her. I didn't know it would be 7 minutes. Why? Because I knew exactly how long it was, and the guy was really speedy. He's like, Hasidish guy. She's got me now, but I'm not Hasidim. You know, it was good. And then all of a sudden, he finishes. Of course, you don't say Tachron on Thursday because you never say Tachron, right? Right? And then all of a sudden, he goes, Vahi bin Sora Odoin. I'm like, dude, what is he going to read from a Chumash? And he opens up his talis bag. I promise I'll send you, show you pictures after. And he takes out a mini Sefer Torah. It was unbelievable. I was like, and I said to the lady afterwards, I didn't know it was going to be Chris Tyra, you know? Like, anyway, I was talking to this chassid. And I told him about, he says, he wanted to know, like, what do I do during the day? What do you do for a living? Can I ask you? So I'm like, I totally schooled this, like, not religious guy. I'm like, oh, I'm a Lama Toyota. That's my real job. I have a little job that pays me money afterwards, but okay. So in any case, why am I telling you this? So I said, yeah, I'm a Lama Toyota. He says, who do you learn by? So I said, Rav Aaron Salvation. Rav Aaron, not Rav JB. No, he didn't say JB. He said, not JB. I was going to smack him in the face, but I didn't. It was my grandfather said, I said, no, Rav Yosef Dov. He goes, no, I know Rav Aaron. I know Rav Aaron. He wrote beautiful Svarim. So I don't think he was talking about this. I don't know who he was talking about because he had 7 Svarim. But Perach Mata Aaron, Rav Aaron says this Svei Dinam over here. It's classic brisk. What's the Svei Dinam? This goes with what Rav Sachs says. I wish I could tell this to Rav Sachs because it's so beautiful. Says Rav Aaron says, is that the Svei Dinam here? Why does the Rambam in Hilchos, in Sefer HaMitzvos, classically say Tocheach Tocheach HaMesecha, and then learns it out in 2 Dinam? Because he says it's a separate din of telling your friend that you bothered me. It's not just Tochacha. Let's say he didn't do an Aveira per se. But your friend bothered you, he did something wrong, you have a mitzvah to tell him that he did something wrong. You offended me. Don't let it burn in your heart. Because the Rambam says if it burns in your heart, you never know what could happen. Look at the story of Avshalom and Amnon. There's a separate mitzvah. And that, says Rav Yonatan Apshus, where everything went wrong. The brother should have gone on to Yosef and should have liked him enough to say, Yosef, what are you doing? You need to do tshuva. You need to do tshuva. What are you talking to us like this for? It's a chutzpah. Stop it. And maybe Yosef would have changed him. He had a mission to do. We know that. But maybe he would have said something different. Maybe he wouldn't have been as hard. He had to tell over the dream. We know that was a nevuah. But maybe in a different way. Maybe in different covenant. Again, I'm not speaking to myself. Rav Yonatan Apshus says this. Who am I to say such words? But speech is so very, very important. So important. They should have spoke to him. Say, you humiliated us. We know that we're not the same. We know we're not from Rachel. The Ramban, Nachmanides, says on this pasuk of Ocheach Tochiach, Ba'avur Shederech Hasoinim, the Derech of Soinim, haters, you know what they normally do? L'chasot et Sina Beliba. A real hater keeps it bottled up inside and then it bursts. That's what hate is. You know, I don't know if they have this anymore. There used to be a term, wow, that guy just went postal. What does that mean? He went postal? Because there used to be the postman. They were so bottled up inside with their hate. And then so they would go into a post office once and shoot everybody up. Chas v'sholom. Cesar of Sachs, conversation is a form of conflict resolution. Such a beautiful word. No speech, nothing's going on. Doesn't mean that you resolve the situation if I hate, but if you speak about it, you'll often see. I'm told in marriage that there are husband and wives who fight sometimes. As I'm told, stories don't. Some of them just go to America for 2 weeks out of the month and they got no problem. But what's the heart? What does a person do? What a person should do is Talk it out. Instead of shutting his mouth and not saying anything, this is what husbands often do. They keep it bottled up inside. They just don't talk to the person. And then weeks later, when you're not talking to your wife, you don't even remember what happened. Talk it out right away. All of a sudden, you see the other side of it. You know what? That's true. Actually, I didn't see it that way. I do realize you did X, Y, Z. That, okay, that makes sense. It's not always going to... But I see the other side. You're a human being. That's what tefillah is all about. Ain't sicha la tefillah. Sicha is a talk to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Opening up a divine conversation. A connection with the Ribbono Shel Olam. I don't understand everything, but I speak to the Ribbono Shel Olam. You could relate humanly to a point of view and understand, even if you don't agree with it. And that's why this longest narrative is so important. Because it's something that unfortunately got us to where we are today. Of course, the Chafetz Chaim made Lashon Hara famous, evil speech. But just as bad is called evil silence. The failure to talk, to tell people what you think. I don't know anything about what I'm about to say. He quotes some of the great people. Wittgenstein, Levi Strauss, Steiner, all Jews, not religious, who forwarded the thinking of speech and how important speech was. But maybe we can defend for a moment the second part. Why the brothers were so quiet? Why didn't they say anything to their brother? Right? And when we speak about this, we have to tread on very, very thin ice. We're walking on eggshells because we're talking about the Shiftei Ka. So comes along Rav David Feinstein, who's written so much, but specifically, amazingly, wrote a lot about gematrias and things of that nature which you wouldn't think would come from the son of Moshe Feinstein. He's a gadol, a paisek adir, but has svarim, the art school svarim, on this. And he says like this. If you notice in the pasuk, Klayakar points this out right away, that the word shalom, really lishalom, they couldn't talk to him, lishalom, is spelled chaser, without a vav, that it normally should be spelled with. So he says, why is there no vav? Instead, it's spelled lamed shin, lamed mem. Really, it could be worded differently. Lishalem, to pay. The brothers realized that there was a debt that needed to be paid. You know what that debt was called? Gullus. They knew that their father, Yaakov, was the Av of Gullus. Because when we think about it, why is it that Avram, my son, has a test today? My little Avishai, not so little anymore. So he has the famous, the Gemaras that speak about Avram was Tikin Shachris, Yitzchak Mincha, Yaakov Meirif. But that makes no sense. Vayir Vayivoker, we're Jews. We go at night. Why wasn't Avram Metakin what? Meirif. Because Yaakov is the Av of Golos. Meirif is that tefillah of the night. We call it tefillahs Rishus because it's difficult Golos. The Boker is, Agid Baboker Chastecha. But at night, you have to have balelos, you have to have emunas of Rabbanu Shalom. Night's the hardest. Yaakov was going to lead them into Gullus, the Av of Gullus. They knew that they had to pay a debt. They realized that their brother was doing what they did because there was a reason for it. And maybe that's why they couldn't speak to him, because L'shalem, they knew that they should be the appropriate brothers and say what they should say. And maybe afterwards they even realized that when they sold him. And finally, we'll say in a few parshas from now, Aval Hashem Nimanachnu. We should have said something. But they realized that their grandfather's bris ben habesharim, they were promised Eretz Yisrael, the ownership, but the nevuah was contingent on 400 years of gullus, of exile. And they realized that they had to pay the shalim, the 400 years. And isn't it beautiful that the gematria of the word l'shalom, or l'shalem if you will, is 400. So 400 years that they would be in Gullus. Yes, we know. The cuts are at the 210. But maybe there's another idea as well. Excuse me for a moment to be mechadish. Not really mechadish, I'm sure it's written somewhere. But l'shalom is written without a vav. And we know famously that the Vav is called the Vav HaChibur. We know that famously, Vav has this very special standing. And in fact, Yaakov Avinu himself has a Vav, as the Maharal tells us, five times. He took the vav of Eliyahu and it's put into Yaakov's name. And this is a whole shiur within itself. Go through those five times. Why Yaakov Shalem Eliyahu is, most famously, you know, Hinei Anochi Shaleach Lachem, you all sing the song wrong. Es Eliyahu Ha-Navi, that's not right. It should be Hinei Anochi Shaleach Lachem, Es Eliyahu Ha-Navi. Doesn't sound so good. So they put Eliyahu Ishkayach. But it's Eliyahu Ha-Navi. The Nevuah of Mashiach is without the Vav of Chibor, because we need Chibor. What the brothers lacked was an Achdus, was of togetherness. They still could have been nice to their brother. They know that they had to pay the debt, but they didn't have to do it in that way. They didn't have to be so harsh. Yes, we believe that there are agents of the Ribbono Shalom who make us suffer. It doesn't have to be that bad. Rav Asher Weiss said last night that when the Malach tried to hurt, he said this at Shal Shudas in his shul, when the Malach tried to hurt and did hurt Yaakov, he switched his name. But you don't see what it doesn't say what it is until later on. The Rabbanu Shalom says, oh, your new name is Yisrael. The Malach wanted his name to be switched to Yisrael, but we see that his name is Yaakov and Yisrael. And says the Chassam Sofer, because the gematria of Yaakov and Yisrael is 729, which is the gematria of Korah Satan. Because when we have the strength of the Yaakov Yisrael together, wow, it's Korah Satan. So Baruch Hashem, you just believe everything I say. Rav Asher Weiss said, I had some time on my hand once and I counted it out and it's wrong. I know you're allowed to be off by one as the time for Ma'ariv, apparently, the Rosh Hashiva says. But 729 and 723, it's way off. What's going on over here? And then Rav Asher Weiss says, "Nu, Chassam Sofer, am I crazy? Yaakov with the Vav Achibor. It's that Vav of Yaakov of Galus that one day will come to Eliyahu Navi. And that Vav will be Mole, with the brothers getting along with each other, with them realizing maybe they should have said something. Rabbi Sachs and Rabbi Feinstein come together in this. Yes, on one hand, they had to pay the debt, but they didn't have to do it in such a harsh way. And as we approach very soon, Amir Tzashem, sometimes Vayeshev is a little bit closer to Chanukah. It's a little farther away. We're not really thinking about it. But the holiday season is upon us. There's only 7 shopping days left for Chanukah. Buy your Rebbe that doesn't get paid something special. And I'm kidding. And Chanukah is about Chibur. Because when we ultimately realize that what the Jews had going for them was one thing and one thing only, it was an achdus. It was a togetherness. And the Jews, we know in the times of Chanukah, needed the Ribbono Shalom to save them. Purim, famously said by different Meforshim, I saw this in the Lakutim of the Oitzer Minhagim. So he speaks out this idea, I believe from the Bnei Yisachar speaks out, right, that the Grager is from the bottom, because we got it, and the dreidel, toys are not a joke in Halacha, from the top. We need the Ribbono Shalom. We had to do a mass tshuva movement. But we didn't do the tshuva. The Ribbono Shalom helped us. There was a lack of achdus because everybody was running to be Greek. Everybody was running. That's what we have to be mitakin, Rabbi Yisai. The tikkun is of Chanukah. When's Chanukah always? It's in the middle of the winter. It's when you turn around and, oh, it's dark. I miss Mincha. It's the darkest days. Nebuch, these are the days that unfortunately people are the saddest. Besides the rain, Baruch Hashem, in Eretz Yisrael. But the snow soon in America. People are sad during this time. But there needs to be a togetherness. There needs to be an achdus. I believe that's a lot of the story of Chanukah. It's the people who got up together. They got up together. And they said, we're going to do something about this. Small amount of people. Not a lot of people. Things were going on with Rabbi Yisai was crazy. I spoke about last week, this idea, Nebuch lo aleinu. There was this horrible general who said, Jews, you can get married, but on the wedding night, before anything happens, you come to me first with the kala. And people were letting this go on until finally somebody got up. Yehuda, since she told her brothers, I'm getting married. Stop it. And they were all ready. And she gave them chalav. It's one of the reasons we have chalav. This is when people get together. The achdus. The holiday of Chanukah is all about one mitzvah, Rabbi Yisai. It's called Pursuming Nisa. What the heck? What? The mitzvah is, and you go through halacha, there's a shilas whether or not you can light if there's no Pursuming Nisa. I come home at 11 o'clock at night, 12 o'clock at night, right? Baruch Hashem here. Right? So you always have a guy up. 3 o'clock in the morning, you probably could light with a bracha. You just go to a guy and say, hey, dude, stay up, stay up. Come on, come on. No, don't wake him up. But he's up. Everybody's up. Everybody's always up. Pursuing Nisa, because somebody else has to see the mitzvah. Mefaris and the nace. I'm allowed to walk in the street if I don't have an... I don't look at somebody's... Not my... Somebody else's candles. What achdus is that? And say a bracha. She'asa nisim lavaseinu. It's the ultimate holiday of achdus, Chanukah. Because Chanukah brings us all together in Pursuing Nisa. Be mefaris and the nace. Rabbeinu Shalom was with us. We didn't deserve it. But let's be together. We should be zoiche to understand these important messages. And be zoiche to a true geula. Let the Rabbeinu Shalom bring back that vav, and let it be Eliyahu Hanavi, and let it be a god of anoira, leheshiv leva voice avonim, bring Mashiach Tzidkenu, amen. Amen.